And so we are in a series called Six Pastoral Prayers. And so a number of weeks back, I asked Mackenzie if she would speak on pastoral prayer number four, that we would recognize that God has placed us here at this time and this place for his purpose. So I'm just, Mackenzie, thank you so much for coming and sharing today. All right. Go get him.
All right. I was in second grade when I fell in love. And I know some of you are rolling your eyes at me and telling me you can't actually fall in love when you're 8 years old, but this was different. Because you see, this boy, he was perfect. He had big green eyes and messy black hair and this wicked cool scar. And to my 8-year-old self, there was absolutely nothing that he could improve on. Except there was just one little catch. He wasn't exactly real. Because you see, I, like many girls before me and like countless others after, had fallen in love with Harry Potter. See, to my 8-year-old self, the wizarding world that J.K. Rowling had created left absolutely nothing to be desired. I mean, hello, there's magic. The teachers are cool. Sometimes they turn kids into ferrets if they get annoying. You have like staircases that move, and when you eat chocolate frogs, they're actually jumping around, and the pictures talk to you. You know, they had best friends, and good always triumphed over evil. It seemed perfect, and I wanted nothing more than to live there. So as I grew up, you know, Harry, he grew up with me. He was going from the Chamber of Secrets to battling Dementors, and I was moving from second grade to third, and third grade to fourth, all the while waiting for this extremely monumental day, my 11th birthday. Because you see, the summer after their 11th birthday, all kids that go to Hogwarts, the magical school, you know, they get their acceptance letters. And so while I wouldn't have admitted it to anyone, that summer, I watched, and I waited, and I longed for nothing more than my letter to show up. And while I knew in my head that, to quote, you know, Harry's Uncle Vernon, that there was no such thing as magic, in my heart, I still hoped. Obviously, no letter arrived by mail or by owl. But, you know, I'm even more embarrassed to admit that I actually kept hoping for it to show up until I was 13 or 14 years old. And then on the day that I finally kind of gave up and realized I have to go to high school, not Hogwarts, you know, it kind of felt like part of me had died. You know, I had read all of these books as a kid where people just went on these great big adventures and their life was so exciting and they got to save people from dragons and just, they had these epic stories. And then I looked at my life where I'd wake up in the morning, maybe eat breakfast, go to school, watch TV, and then go back to bed and repeat it all the next day. You know, and I just saw something that was so boring. Growing up wouldn't even fix it, because then I'd just have a job. My parents had complained about that enough. But, you know, I was just longing for an adventure. Hogwarts seemed so much better than that. Anything seemed so much better than that. You know, I was here, but I couldn't really figure out why. And, you know, I'm realizing today that it's most likely that not a single person in this room had the exact same problem that I did. Most of you have your heads out of the clouds, and you don't think that you're going to go to some magical school and life will be perfect. But, you know, while the problem itself, it's not common, I think that the mindset is. You know, sometimes we just go through periods in our lives where we're waiting to figure out what the point is. You know, maybe you're stuck in a dead-end job, and you're just trying to pay the bills, and you can't help but wonder if this is as good as it's going to get. Maybe you just have a friend that's making the same mistakes over and over and over again, and you're tired of trying to help. Maybe your life's going great. You're happy, you're healthy, but when you really sit back and admit it, you're bored. We all wait for life to get exciting again. We wait for our Hogwarts letters, and we don't know what to do in the in-between. So what's the solution? Like Andrew said earlier, we're in sermon series right now called Pastoral Prayers. So we've been looking at these assumptions that we make about life and assumptions that we make about God, and we've been introducing these prayers that they really help us to make the right assumptions. And so our prayer for today is the one right up on the board, and it says that we would recognize that God has purposefully placed us here at this time and this place for his glory. So we're looking at this prayer, and now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to Acts chapter 17. Because this is, that prayer up there, it's one that, it seems pretty simple. But when we actually wrestle with it, it could completely change the way that we live. So we're in Acts 17, verse 24, and we're diving in right in the middle of a passage. So I'm going to give you a little background just so that I know what I'm talking about. And so here we go. Right now in Acts, we're following the story of Paul. And Paul was a man who, he made some really significant mistakes in his life. And then he met Jesus, and Jesus completely turned him around. And he made him this new creation. And now Paul is just so in love with God that he really wants to follow where he leads. And right now he's in Athens talking to the Jewish people there about Christ and telling them about this Messiah that has come. And while he's talking, some Greek men that are hanging out there, they hear Paul speaking. And they think it's a little weird, because in Greece right now, they're worshiping all these multiple idols, and so they don't know who Christ is, and they're a little confused. And so they ask Paul to come to a meeting and tell them more about this Christ that they're talking about. And in verse 24, we just get to the heart of what Paul is teaching. And it's some of the basic things about God that you might go out and tell somebody if they've never heard of him before. So verse 24 reads, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." So verse 26 is that one that we're really going to focus on today. It says, "From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live." So what Paul's saying here, it's pretty unbelievable. He's saying, God made you. But not only did he just make you, God made plans for you. He picked the exact place where he wanted you to live at the exact time. And if we really wrestle with this truth, it comes up with this great big idea. God has called us here. Right here, right now, for a reason. And I don't think that that's a super new idea for us. We hear a lot in Scripture about how God has made plans for us, and he has a story that he wants our lives to tell and a path that he wants us on. And we see it all through the Scripture, but I just especially love it how they put it in Jeremiah. And Jeremiah 1 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Then Jeremiah 29:11, which is a verse that many of us already have memorized, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So I think that this idea that God has called us right here and right now for a reason, I don't think it's new. And in some degree, I don't think it's that hard for us to understand. But there's a difference between knowing and believing. And there's a difference between knowing in our heads that God has called us here and believing in our hearts that he's called us here and applying it with our hands. And I think some of the reasons that it's just so hard for us to apply this truth sometimes, I think there are two main reasons. Number one is that life is ordinary, and God is not. So we start just thinking in our heads that God's only going to use us when something really big in our life happens. God will use me when I get a new job. God will use me when I move to a new town. God will use me when I serve on a big project or go on a missions trip. Now, all of those things are great, but we just get it wrapped up in our head that God only shows up in those events that would make a highlights reel of our life or show up on our Facebook timelines. But the truth that this prayer teaches us is that God is in the details. Now, he called us right here at 9:45 in the morning. He called us right here and right now. And so it means that every little thing in our life, it actually matters. You know, God could have put us anywhere. We could be living in New York in 1920. We could be over in Africa right now. But he put us right here. And because of that, it gives purpose to our daily lives. So the first reason why we have a problem applying this is because we forget that God works in the everyday. But I think the second reason why we forget that God has called us right here and right now for a reason, and why it's hard to apply it, is because that means that there's a reason behind times of pain. Sorry. And that's just something that's so hard to stomach. Because we don't want to be uncomfortable. And we don't want to feel awkward. And we don't want to be unhappy. And when we really wrestle with the idea that God's called us here for a reason, we have to realize that, you know, he might just have a purpose behind our struggles. I mean, and I firmly believe that God wants good for all of his children, but I also believe that he uses pain to teach us things. Pastor Andrew spoke a couple weeks ago on this prayer that was the idea that, you know, as children of God, we are not under his wrath, but under his mercy. Because of that, he uses our experiences in life to teach us things. And I think that that's a truth that's so relevant today as well. We don't always know why God does the things he does, but he does them for a reason. If I'm being honest with you guys today, and I really hope that I am, I have to admit that this truth, this prayer is one that I felt really, that God's really convicted me of this past year. Because I am the high school senior waiting to graduate and go on to college and get life started. And so I just spend my time at school merely wasting away the minutes. And I'm the 18-year-old young woman waiting to grow up enough for people to actually take me seriously. Spend a lot of time just waiting for this adventure and not enough time realizing that God's already put me in one. In the past year, it's just been full of struggles in my personal life, too, and I've spent a lot of time just waiting for God to take the pain away. But I do believe that God has called me right here and right now for a reason, just as he's called each one of us. And I do believe that God has plans for my life and a purpose, and I believe that he has plans for each one of you. And I do believe that God has a reason for why he does the things he does. Because of that, you know, as I look back on this past year, through pain and through, quite honestly, boredom, you know, I have to realize that I've never trusted God the way that I have to this, that the way that I do today. And that's enough reason for me. But sometimes we forget. Because we forget that God works in the everyday, and we don't want to stomach the fact that he might have a reason for us to go through pain. But what happens when we remember? What happens when we really grasp onto this idea and try to live it out in our daily lives? Now, that passage in Acts, it didn't just say, hey, God, you made us, you put us here for a reason, and then you let us be. No, it says, Acts 17, verse 27, says that God did this so that men would seek him, and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So God made you. God made plans for you. And God put you here, right now. Because this is the best place for you to find him. And this is the best place for you to serve him. And this is the best place for you to enjoy him, even if that's not something that you really believe right now. And so as we apply this idea, I think it lets us make a choice. We get to choose whether we're going to sit and wait for our Hogwarts letters. Or we can decide to let God use us. I think as we really grasp onto this idea that God has called us right here and right now for a reason, I think that it changes our hearts and it changes our minds, but most of all, it changes our perceptions. And it changes the way that we look at our lives. Life becomes this really big adventure. You're not just cleaning up the house and picking up the kids from school and cooking dinner anymore. You're cleaning and you're cooking and you're picking up the kids because you realize that God called you here to do that. And God has a reason for you to do that. And through those things, you're bringing God glory. We're not just going to work anymore, but we're going to work realizing that the Lord who created the universe has us there for a reason. Life's not boring anymore, is it? Because we come into contact with all of these people all day long. We see them at work, and we see them at school, and we see them at home and at the grocery store and all over the place. I go to school with 2,000 kids alone. And every single one of those people has a story. They're all either walking down a path towards spiritual life or towards spiritual death. And what this prayer is teaching us is that we get to have a part in that journey. Because as we commit ourselves to Christ, and as we ask him to use us, God uses our stories. Christ, he works through our words, and he works through our actions, and he works in our everyday, mundane, boring old lives. We get to be part of the biggest rescue mission in history every time we walk out that front door. It's incredible. So here's what I want you to do today. You should have all gotten a little sticker. Thank you, Linda and Jenna, for passing those out. But I want you to take that little sticker and take the pen that you should have used to fill out your connection card earlier. And what I want you to do is write the phrase, right here, right now, on your sticker. And then when you've done that, stick it somewhere where you're going to see it every day. Maybe you put it on the back of your phone. Maybe you stick it on your Bible, on the mirror, on your steering wheel. Just put it somewhere where you're going to see it a lot. And let it be a reminder that God has a reason for you to be here. And let it be a challenge to let God use you. And while you do that, I just really want to challenge each one of us to think about your life and figure out where you feel God is calling you right now. If he has a reason for you to be here, what is it? Maybe that means that you go home today and you call that friend on the phone and you ask them out for coffee. Maybe it means that you go into work tomorrow with this mindset saying that I'm going to let God use me here today. Maybe that just means you smile at that stranger in the grocery store. We don't always know how God uses our actions. But we do know that Christ has called us here, right now, for a reason and for his glory. Will you pray with me? God, we just thank you so much that you work in our everyday lives and that you took the time to pick out where you wanted us to be in the world. And Lord, we just pray that you would give us the courage to go out there and to follow you, Lord, that you would help us to see where it is you're calling us to serve and how it is that you're calling us to show Christ's love to other people. God, I just pray that this would be a prayer that just sticks in our hearts for every day, that we would be walking through the hallways and going to the store realizing that you've got a purpose for us. Lord, I just pray that if that's a truth that's hard for us to wrestle with, God, Lord, that you would help us to root ourselves in your love and to realize that you've loved us so much and you made us for a reason. We just thank you for your love and your mercy, and we thank you that you called us for a reason. Amen.